Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Can you say hard hats, folks? Hard hats? Lunch pail, steel to a boots.
Anything short of a championship this year is a failure.
Dude, look at this boomer right here.
You've just got so much talent here.
Somebody said we need to apologize for Jalen.
Can I call the John? What are we apologizing for? What did we say? What did we do?
See this? See this, John? In the dumpster. In the absolute dumpster tonight. You won't be seeing that in my head because they didn't come to work, and this is why we can't have nice things. This is why we can't have nice things.
Potentially the most predictable thing. You could and should have made $1 million off of this game, and it happened. And you who didn't see this coming?
Celtics were what, -14.5? Give me an effing break. If you're betting that, then you don't know this team. You do not know this team.
You don't know ball.
You don't know ball, man. You know Celtics ball.
Damn.
My
goodness gracious. It is something. We love your comments. You want to send us tweets, memes, anything?
We're going to get some comments.
We'll throw some out there. It's a ton of fun here. You know, because look.
Yeah.
Does anybody think they're going to lose this series?
Says it all.
Oh, sorry. Does anyone think they're going to lose this series? No.
I don't even know what that means, actually. I thought you said don't show up.
But
does anyone think they're going to? No, they're not. Well, shit.
This is a funny question to ask
me. I'm not even going to say no yet, John.
This is a funny question to ask me. At what point in the season did I say this? That I think Joe's a good coach? I don't know. So, look, what are we going to do here? You want? Let me have the whole Celtics Twitter conversation in 30 seconds. Ready? Joe Mazzulla's got to go. He couldn't adjust. Spoelstra adjusted. No, it's bullshit. See, he just hit a lot of threes. They won't hit a lot of threes. Yeah, but the Jays are soft. What did we pay Jrue Holiday for? This was my worst nightmare with Kristaps Porzingis. A game like this. What the hell happened with Derek White? See, I told you they were frauds. There it is.
And thanks for coming, guys.
We had the show.
See you at game three.
Look, man. Okay. What do you want to do here? Where do you want to start?
I want to start with getting Sherrod in. How about that?
Never.
Let's get Sherrod in the building.
He's hydrating.
Somebody with a brain. Let's get somebody with a brain on this show.
He's hydrating.
There he is. He probably needs
wow.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. This was not not how Star Game 2 going.
Lost. I didn't say I expected a loss. I said I wouldn't have bet them -14.5. That's all.
No, they
we are not going to downplay it. I want your honest take, because Sherrod, I don't know where to begin. I got a lot of takes and feelings and emotions, and I don't want to let them all out at once. So we'll start with a rational-minded person who usually is good at putting things into proper perspective before we start ranting and going bananas.
Yeah,
here.
Before you want to leave the show.
Right. No, this is it's a disappointing loss, not a bad loss, because
I'm not mad. I wish I was.
I wish I was mad. I wish I was pissed off about this. I wish I felt the world was coming to an end with this loss, but I don't. And there's so many reasons why I feel that way. First and foremost, Miami, give them credit. The biggest adjustment I thought they made of all the things they did was they were more aggressive. They were more assertive. They did not just walk the ball up when the Celtics did something. They were in attack mode. And again, it paid off. Chris Porzingis is not going to go 1-for-9. Miami is not going to shoot 55% from three-point range. Derek White, you know, I thought that was one of the guys that kind of seemed like he kind of had a little bit of – he could get cooking, and they just kind of went away. He made a couple of shots, and he was just like, okay, thanks a lot for your contributions, Derek. Good night. God bless. This was a game they needed so – and Pritchard was didn't look like he was looking to score. Just like he was out there just kind of – just out here to –
Yeah.
It's hard for me to pinpoint like one or two things that led to this loss. It felt like it was just a conflation of about six or seven different just things that Miami did, things that the Celtics didn't do. And the end result is that, you know, so 10-point loss.
Okay. So, and again, it's.
Let's rant now. Let's go.
It's not the rant. Look, let's start with approach, right? Were you worried that they would come out after cruising in game one and kind of take it a little easy? Yeah. Was this a playoff effort game? At times, not consistently, not to start, you know, but how much of it is effort and how much of it is philosophy? And this is where I'm kind of stuck here is this. And this is where a lot of people come down to what's the thing that everyone's most worried about in this matchup, Joe versus Spo. Spoelstra says, we got to shoot more threes. And since they shoot a lot of threes, I want them to shoot fewer threes. And the biggest thing I was worried about with this team is that they would, that Miami would try to do that, to limit that, and then make them hunt matchups, which they do. Because why? Because they think they have got matchups everywhere. So there's always a matchup there. And when you go to that, how many one-pass possessions did they have tonight? They hunted matchups all day. They gave up on taking threes. They tried to take advantage of that. Whether how much of that Miami ran them off the line or was really trying to keep them from doing that. But they didn't play at all the same way they played in game one in terms of the approach where they were zipping the ball around and showing great patience and waiting and working for the best shot. There was zero of that. Maybe 3, 4, 5 possessions all night where you're like, okay, that was good. Good read there. And there you have it. And then, you know, I'm going to put this one up here. You know, this cracks me up, but I think this is apt. You know?
Let's read it. Joe's game plan, : let's chuck up 53s. Spo, : guys, let's guard the threes. Joe, : do you have kids?
You know, it's like, this is it. It's like, this is where you have your, yeah, this is where you get burned is, you know, you got burned in a couple of like ways here that are a little bit stubborn, which is, you know, okay, they took away the three. We're going to hunt the matchups. It's fine. But also giving up open threes to Miami, which is something the Celtics do. They give up. That's a tactic. They'll give up mid and they give up above the break threes. They want teams to shoot those, especially shooters that they don't necessarily trust. They wanted Caleb Martin to shoot. And I guess most times that will work. Tonight, it didn't work. You play the percentages rather than play what's actually happening in front of you. And this is what happened is you just gave up a bunch of open threes. You weren't challenging. You weren't getting hands in people's faces. You weren't closing out and they murdered you with it. But and I tweeted earlier, one thing I will say about this, there's going to be a lot of victim mentality among Celtics fans tonight of like, well, they hit so many threes, that'll never happen again. You scored 101 points. So whatever you did didn't work under any circumstances, okay?
The defense was a problem.
You had a broken offense, whether Miami broke you or you did it to yourself. You came out and scored 101 points tonight, so you did nothing. You did nothing.
And they shot 11 more threes than you did. They were the team that was jacking up threes and knocking them down.
Yeah.
And you look at it's weird because if you go back and look at this game, the way that Miami was swinging the ball was what the Celtics did in game one. It's literally like Miami said, we're going to do to you exactly what you did to us. And let's see if you can stop.
They conceded the BAM jumpers. They conceded a lot of things. They conceded a lot of these things. And they got they got burned. They got burned.
And how many times does Bam have to go to his left before you decide that let's take away his drive to the left?
Yeah.
That's all he wanted to do. Drive to the left, pull up. Drive to the left, pull up. And 15 points later, like, oh, let's try to cut that off. There were just so many opportunities in this game where you're thinking that the Celtics are just going to flip that switch and go back to doing the things that they did in game one and that they did throughout the regular season. And it never happened. It never happened. It was as if they thought they could just kind of show up and play pretty good and that'd be enough to win, because they did play pretty good. They didn't play a horrible game, but they with the urgency that you need to have in these games.
One is urgency, and two is Miami completely changed up and the Celtics weren't ready for the changes. And that's what's going to keep you up at night with the Celtics team. And again, Joe is the low-hanging fruit that's going to get a ton of the blame here. Yeah. But you had the worst game Kristaps Porzingis has played in 2 years, probably. Holiday was bad. White was non-existent until late. It was not good from the guys outside of the Jays in terms of any sort of offensive production. These guys were brutal. Pritchard didn't get a shot up. You know, he wasn't doing anything out there. But Miami changed up how they did things. Here's Joe Mazzulla talking about Miami's adjustments.
From game one to game two, based on the schemes. And so we have to adjust to that. You know, more switching on their part, higher pickup points, got to fight for spacing, less obvious two-on-ones. And so, you know, we got to get to our spacing quick and play out of that. And defensively, obviously, they made a conscious effort, you know, the free reign to shoot more. And I thought, you know, most of those were, you know, moderately to heavily contested. And so we're going to have to make the adjustment on some of those.
I don't know that they were moderately to heavily contested.
Not
but
really.
Here's the thing, though.
I don't think they were.
Let me get something in.
Okay. But I want to respond to what Joe said.
All right. Great. No, do that.
Just to what Joe said, okay? This fundamentally is a problem, saying something like, oh, they made adjustments in this game, so we'll have to adjust next game. Let me tell you something, Joe. Next game, they're going to do something different than they did this game. That's how it works. Yeah. You have to adjust in the game and or be ready for different styles coming at you, not just they usually do this, so this is what they'll do. It's the playoffs. It's a series. Spoelstra's going to change up what he does, not just game to game, quarter to quarter, in terms of defensive coverages and their approach. That he did it last year. The zone melted their minds, and he came out one game later and didn't play zone a single time. That's what he does. So you got to be ready in game. You can't say, oh, they did this time, now I'll game plan for what they did in game two for game three. That's not how it works. Anyway, go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, so that's a lot about what I was going to say is, you know, a couple big fears unlocked tonight if you're a Celtics fan. One is and they go hand in hand, is the fact that you knew that the Heat had one advantage and it was in the head coaching department. How are they going to come out in game two after, you know, all the you know, data and footage that they can go with game one? Spo goes into the lab and cooks up a game plan that has, you know, Mizzou and the Celtics reeling a little bit. And like you said, John, this is a chess match. This isn't just we're going to play them in, you know, November and then we'll see him again in, you know, 3 months in January for some game. You know what I mean? This is okay. Game one is in the books. What went right? What went wrong? What changes do we need to make? What do they think that we think that they think that we think? So that's where Spo comes in.
She didn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Exactly, Sherrod.
Facts,
my
dog.
What do they think that we think that they think that we think? That's exactly what Spo's asking his guys. Missoula's
facts,
just
my dog.
If the Celtics and Missoula are just going to be reactive to things, and like John said, they're going to be a game behind every single game now, right? And that's not the case with Heat. So that's the first thing. The second thing is what the tweet said. You give a mediocre team or a bad team a reason to believe, whether it's during the game or during the series, they're no longer believing that they are a mediocre team or a bad team. Not that I'm saying the Heat ever believed it, but a game like tonight gives the fans, changes the momentum, a reason to believe, like, hey, wait a second, the Celtics were minus 3,000 when it comes to the favorites to win this series. You had to bet $3,000 to win $100. That's what Vegas told you that this series was going to be like. Everyone thought it was going to be. Everyone who thought they knew ball thought this was going to be a 4-0 sweep. That's how crazy the odds were. And so for the Heat to not only win a game, but to win a game too, a game in your home, you know, home court where you've been pretty damn good all year, flip the home court advantage, if it matters in the end, maybe it will, and give themselves a reason to now believe. They're going home to Miami now where they've got, you know, believe it or not, there are a few Heat fans out there. And, you know, they're going to get that team, that crowd rallying behind them. And now there's maybe a series when there shouldn't be Sherrod. This should have been a 4-0 or at most 4-1, and maybe it still will be. But I was thinking if it was going to be 4-1, it would have been, you know, game four, maybe the Heat steal one, right? Gentleman sweep. If this is that gentleman sweep, or do I have the
five games is a gentleman sweep? It doesn't matter.
It's not just five games.
We had this debate last year.
I quibble with this all the time. The gentleman sweep is when you go up 3-0 and instead of closing it out in four, you let them win
sweep,
one.
Yeah. Right.
But you have gentleman sweep to be that way. In my mind has to be that way, not just five game win.
I agree. So they're still. So this can't be a gentleman's sweep, but it can still be a five-game win. But after what I saw tonight, you just can't. And that's the problem with this. That's why us Celtics fans have PTSD, man. That's why there's just something preventing us from going all in. It's because of we've seen this with the Heat specifically, but we've just seen it in the playoffs. These guys make things so much harder than they need to be. And this is, you know, unfortunately, two games in, here we are talking about it.
Yeah, I think all eyes on game three aren't going to be on Tatum or Brown or even Porzingis. It's going to be on Joe Mazzulla because right now he is front and center the issue that I think Celtics fans are just freaking out the most about. Because we knew coming into this that Spoelstra had the advantage from a coaching standpoint. But the thinking was, and this makes sense, the Celtics' talent would compensate for that coaching gap. And this was a game where the guy that we've all identified as kind of the wild card slash X factor for the Celtics to win a title, Kristaps Porzingis, had his worst game as a Celtic. This is a game where the necessary adjustments defensively never came about. Miami, I respectfully disagree with Joe on that. They had a lot of moderately to tightly contested shots. I thought Miami had a lot of great looks.
Really great looks. Great looks.
I mean, they were just zipping a ball around, and they were passing up some good shots to get great ones, which is something that we often talk about with the Celtics. So
let me ask you this.
What's up?
Only reason I'm asking because I know that Mazzulla talked about it, and we're going to, I think, play a clip on it about adversity, Sherrod. This is like the first time all year because the Celtics have been, you know, blowing teams out. They've had a 15-game lead or whatever it is in the conference. None of these games have mattered for a while. This is their first adversity. And again, I'm not saying there's a big difference between adversity and panic. I don't think anyone's panicking because they lost a game, right? I mean, we expected them to lose the game at some point. But it's going to be very interesting, Sherrod. I'm wondering what if you agree with me, to see how they react in game three or in a game four situation where now there is a little adversity. There is a reason for them to be a little bit like, what the F? You know, like what did we just do? You know, what went wrong there? And these games now matter. You can make the case that 82 games in the regular season didn't even matter to them because they, you know, they jumped out to a big enough lead early on and that was the end of it. Not 82, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, right now things are uncomfortable. Things are not nearly as copacetic as the Celtics thought they'd be two games into this series. And that's okay. Because it is an opportunity for you to show that mental toughness that you say you have, that you say you're different than you've been in the past. And there are going to be adjustments again in this game, but this is where Mazzulla has to really, really start putting his imprint on the series. Because if we see another game where Miami's getting all these great looks at the rim, and then he tells us after the game, oh, yeah, they had a lot of contested to tightly contested shots. When the eyeball test tells a very different story, things might get interesting in this series. If they go down 2-1, things will become very interesting. I think for their own mental psyche, they need to win game three. Well, I think it has to be a must-win mentality.
Sure. And so here's some perspective, because again, you got the back and forth with like the God, Celtics fans are so overreact. You know, fans in general overreact to one thing. Everyone was saying sweep, and they're going to the finals, and this is the easiest path they could have these conference finals, us included in game one, even though I did say
I wanted the Heat.
Even though I did say I was significantly worried that game two was going to be a dud. Maybe not necessarily a loss, but I thought it would be different. Irregardless, the proper perspective here, and so there's going to be the people who push back. Stop, chill out. It's fine. It's just one game. It's the playoffs. Here's Joe Mazzulla's reaction, you know, talking about kind of the up and down and the adversity. And then I have my thoughts on it here. Here's Joe. I believe this
through a playoff series, however long it lasts, and have it's unfortunate that losing a game is adversity. I would say it's just the nature of the playoffs is adverse itself. So. To think that you're not going to have ups and downs throughout a run, you know, you're not being realistic. So you just have to go back and look at what we did well and where we didn't, and then, you know, figure out the areas that we can improve upon, you know.
First off, I'll say this. This version of Joe, who's talking right now at the podium, is a totally different person than the defiant regular season lost Joe. This is a little bit humbled. A little bit concerned, just simply in demeanor. He's not being combative. He's not swatting back. His overall affect is a tad shook compared to how he's been throughout the regular season when asked about things like adversity or shooting threes or approach or game plans. He'd usually snap back, cite the numbers, cite the success, talk about that's not what he's doing here.
Can't cite the numbers right now because they're one of the only favorites that have lost in this playoff so far.
So, and as a matter of perspective, as we talk about adversity and what's acceptable and what's not, I'm sorry. Losing a game to someone, an NBA team in the playoffs, sure. That's part of the thing. You're not going to sweep everybody. Losing game two at home to a team you just beat by 20 when you're the one seed and they're an eight, I didn't do that. Is a massive fail. You've given home court advantage to the other team. If the series began and you said it's best of five, it's Miami, you're better than them, but they're going to have home court, you'd be like, wait, that sucks. So that's not great. It is objectively not great, the situation they put themselves in by losing game two at home. You lose game three in Miami, okay, well, that happened. You lost game two at home, and the series is tied. That's bad. It's bad.
Bad.
I'm sorry. It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. It's not just adversity.
Clip that quote.
You didn't do your job here, right? You didn't do your job. Is hold serve. You failed at that.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
It's inexcusable to lose this at home. It's inexcusable. Sorry.
Yeah, and there's plenty of blame pie to go around, obviously, but it's hard not to. I knew Dad was going to get Jimmy excited.
I'm texting on it.
It's hard not to want to see Joe Mazzulla get a big slice of this, because if you had to pinpoint one thing that was different than this game that didn't happen in game one was the adjustments. Miami never adjusted to anything the Celtics did. And tonight, Miami came in with a different attitude, approach, mindset, and Joe never adjusted. I couldn't understand how Miami was just basically walking into three-point shots the entire game. And at no point did the Celtics put up any resistance to that. At no point did they try to close out quick. That was the one thing that was frustrating to me. Defensively, they just weren't closing out. And this whole idea that they had a lot of contested shots, I don't think that's what happened, Coach. Miami looked pretty damn wide open most of the time when they were getting them shots. Some were tough shots, obviously, but for the most part, Miami got exactly what they wanted offensively, and the Celtics never adjusted. Never adjusted.
They didn't. Absolutely not. Bobby Manning is going to join us when I get a thumbs up, and I feel good about it. Thumbs up, Bobby Manning.
Thumbs up.
Hallway, wow. Bobby. Bobby, I'm upset about the loss, but I don't know ball. Can you tell me?
Bobby, first of all, pop all those balloons. This is not a celebration.
Boom, 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 boom.
Start singing Sweet Caroline while you're at it.
Yeah, we're very festive here. Going back to Miami, it's not a surprise to me that this is where this is.
Get out of here.
I just couldn't fathom Bobby anyone thinking that this is going to be easy.
Celtics in six, right?
Yes, and I still feel good about that.
You didn't feel good after game one. Why would you feel good after game two?
No, I feel good about them winning a tough series. And that's what everyone should have expected coming in. It's never going to be easy against the Miami. And you see how smart they are coming into this game. And I don't think it was any surprise how Miami was going to try to even this series. They were going to get up 53s in this game. They were going to shoot any time they were even remotely open. We heard that from DeLon Wright on Tuesday. All you had to do was watch the CLNS pressers to know what the Heat were going to do in that game. They made it very obvious. Now, they did some other things tonight. I thought Bam was fantastic, a lot more aggressive. The fourth quarter he had swung this game and put the Celtics out of reach. Caleb Martin, much different approach from him in this game in terms of aggression.
That's going to hurt, by the way.
Yes.
That's got to hurt for everybody involved to have Caleb Martin just dance on your graves all night. Right.
And you have to expect that to some degree. I mean, this just isn't a team that's going to lay down and give up. It's never been that kind of team, even without Butler, even without Rozier. And it just looked like at times in this game that the Celtics showed up expecting it was going to go like the other night. And they didn't settle in this game. Obviously, they didn't get the amount of threes up that you would even want to see from them. And that's another adjustment that the Heat made to switch as much as they did. I said that going into game two, that you should just switch and cut off the three-point line and see what happens. And I don't think anyone expected Porzingis to go 1 of 9 out of that and be in a position in the third and fourth quarter where you're wondering if you even want to go back to him. They do. And he didn't provide much from there. So that was stunning. You haven't seen Porzingis look like that this year. Got into foul trouble in the first half too, obviously, there. So that was a big factor in this one as well. But to your point, Jimmy, I feel good because it feels like the Heat need to shoot 50% from three to win a game like this. That's what makes me feel good for the rest of the series here. But you have to execute offensively as well. And that was Joe's big message in his pressers. When the other team's hitting threes at that level, it forces you to execute at an even higher level offensively. And I don't know, John, did you feel like they were awful defensively in this one?
I think they followed a game plan, and that game plan was – so what Joe said was, I thought a lot of those threes were contested. I don't think so. I think their game plan
– I think that slipped out of his mouth. I think he meant to say that.
Their game plan is to allow those threes, particularly above the break threes. They do that at a very high clip this year. That's a strategy. They give up – what do they give up, Bobby? They play drop and they give up mid-range twos and they give up above the break threes. They're not running out on the line against those things. They just got burned by it. So you can say it was just unfortunate, but strategically you're watching it happen and never – at any point in time, did you choose to react to it? We have this one, you know, quote from Man Stabbed. What are you going to do, stab me? Like, yeah, it happened all night long. You know, like
they gave the Heat the Jaylen Brown treatment. They gave him the Jaylen Brown treatment.
That was it all night. They're like, go ahead. And when they kept hitting him, they're like, go ahead again. Because why, Bobby? Because math, the math tells me it's a good strategy. And you know what? They still could have survived it. And you're right. They could have survived it if they didn't play such – and they didn't – if their offense wasn't so horrible, if Porzingis could catch the ball, if they stopped hunting isos all night, if they tried to move the ball like they did in game one, which they didn't do. There's so many things they did poorly on offense that – you scored 101 points.
No.
So what if Miami hit a zillion threes? Just play better on offense, and you win. And you win the game. They were terrible. They were terrible offensively.
I thought Tatum played a much better game. You had that Brown stretch in the halftime, and then he ends up being the one that they're going to exploit those mismatches in the second half to varying success. But this one obviously falls on Porzingis and Holiday to some degree too.
The secondary guys were terrible. Yeah.
White had some uncharacteristic turnovers in this game. You don't expect from him, and it took him a while to get going in this game too. He had that 6-point stretch that gave you a little bit of life in the fourth quarter, I think it was. But too many
missing guys. Couldn't stop anybody.
What did we say after game one? If you don't get that kind of shooting, if you don't get that kind of bench performance, which you didn't in this game either, the Heat ramp up their volume or their efficiency because they were pretty inefficient in that first game from deep. This is going to happen. And listen, the Heat are capable of doing this one more time. Can they do it 2-3 more times? I don't think so. But you just have to – this game could be good for Boston. You don't want to drop the one game on your home court. But building that awareness, I think, that the other team is capable of this, that they're not going to lay down, that they're not just going to go away, is important. And This is why I said at the end of the game one, John, that fourth quarter stretch was important. That second quarter, first half stretch the Heat went on in that game was important. They went down huge in that game, and they worked their way back every time. And you have to have that expectation that they're going to do that. They're never going to quit, John.
I'm not going to quit. I'm not giving that one away, Bobby, simply because I think it's runs happen in the NBA, and never at any point in time was that the Celtics answered each of those. So I wasn't putting minus what happened late in the game. I wasn't putting that much stock in it, but it's just simply the lack of recognition on the importance of this game. Like, it's a little bit too cavalier for my liking in terms of the overall approach. And that's kind of one of the lingering concerns is we haven't heard from the players yet, but if I get more energy, they came out with more energy and we need to blah, blah, blah. I'll friggin' throw my headset across the room and I'm gone. Like, I don't,
okay.
I will do it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay,
I believe Jalen's talking now. I did catch up with Drew, who said you have to adjust. When guys are shooting at that level, even though your game plan is to edge away from them, you do have to adjust in that spot. And going into game three, he said whatever the game plan is, they'll be solid in that. But I did think it was telling that he said when you're veering away from guys and you're hedging away from guys and they're drilling at that rate, you do have to adjust. And it's been the Celtics' MO all year, like you said, John. Stay with it. Herb Jones in that Pelicans game. Name any player you want that they've hedged away from this year. They've stuck with it through some rough first halves, given up a ton of threes, and then seen in the second half that it doesn't go the same way for the opposing team. It's just in this case, the Heat kept draining them. And just when you're putting them up at that level of confidence, that volume, for guys who are going to shoot that freely on the other side, there's going to be some anomaly games. And this is what we talk about, John, playing the percentages in the playoffs. And I know Joe had a lot of commentary after this game about, we won this battle and this margin went our way and this and that. You're expecting to win if all that stuff goes your way. And we're still within two in the fourth quarter, but you didn't win. And that can happen a couple of different times over a series. And then you end up in a game six. You end up in a game seven. That's the problem here, John. They're now in position where they could have to go down to Miami for a game six.
Celtics in six.
And who knows where that goes?
You don't want to do that
because then who knows what happens in that game. Then you're in a seven.
Yeah.
And even if you take care of business in six, that's longer than you want to be in this series for. Yeah. So
right.
That's the problem with dropping a game like this.
All right. Real quick, Bobby, and we're gonna hear more from Bobby and Joe Sway. Bobby might jump back into the locker room for a little bit. Bobby, the balloons are freaking killing me. I love it, but it's just absolutely hilarious imagery right there.
Just please pop them.
Yeah.
I'll be back in a different location, guys.
Prove that you're a Celtics reporter. Go pop a balloon right now on camera.
No.
Right now. Right
don't
now, do it.
He's going to get tossed out of there. I don't want that. We're going to do that.
Come back for game five.
They're not going to reuse it.
We're going to break out the blame pie. We're also urging anybody who's on Twitter, they want to send us any memes or anything funny that they want us to post. We will look at it, put it up there, send it to Celtics CLNS or tag one of us, and we'll talk about it. We're going to continue talking about what happened to the secondary options. And again, a nightmare performance for the guys who – the difference makers this year, Holiday and Porzingis, what happened there? We'll talk about that as well. First, we want to tell you at home about Prize Picks. We are in the thick of it right now. NBA playoffs are going on, and a great opportunity to sign up for America's number one DFS app here, Prize Picks. Download it. Code CLNS, up to $100 deposit match when you put in $100 of your own. Bang, it's theirs. It's yours to play with. Very simple game. All you got to do is pick more or less on any stat projection on any player, up to six players, as many as you want. You can win up to 10 times your money. Super fun. Tons of games going on. Lots of different actions. So again, download it. Prize Picks. Promo code CLNS, extremely easy to use, a lot of fun. Pick your players, your favorite players, your least favorite players, doesn't matter. I think Bobby had Tatum go with Moore today. I think Bobby hit both of his picks. He had Tatum with Moore and maybe Brown. Safe, but still, it happened.
He makes that bet every game.
They were both less last time. So they came in at more. You could do that. Anyone who took Porzingis less, yes, absolutely, you did well there. So check it out. Once again, Prize Picks, America's number one DFS provider.
Prize Picks.
Code CLNS. Deposit 100, get 100 in your account right away. Guys, let's talk about KP. There's no question. He was such a difference maker in game one. I don't know if this was just a bad day at the office. Miami did anything here. It's hard to fathom that this is the person who came out here tonight. And honestly, you want to talk about Joe Bott again. He closed with them and he probably shouldn't have tonight. It really wasn't his night.
Again, does that have to do with just not making, you know, not wanting to make the risky pit play? It wouldn't even seem like a risky play, but just not wanting to make that adjustment because you're just dead set in what you've done all the way up to this point. Is that kind of what it is?
I think you know, there's a lot of things we can question Joe about, obviously, but going with Porzingis in that moment, I didn't have an issue with that because Al Horford was getting his ass torched by Bam. I mean, Bam was just go to the left, jumper, go to the left, pull up, go to the left, finish at the rim. He was just absolutely destroying Al. And if you're Joe, you got to do something.
He killed him.
You don't got, yeah. And so going with more length at that moment, that Porzingis, when he returned to the game, he was being brought in more for defensive purposes than scoring because they needed to do something to slow Bam down. And so I'm not, there's a lot of things I think we can absolutely question Joe on and just kind of scratch our heads wondering what the hell was he thinking to not adjust to that or not deal with that. But the switching out for Porzingis, you know, I got it.
What are you supposed to do? Not win the regular season games?
No, I love it. I want to say that I know there's Heat fans in here trolling.
Oh God, Heat culture.
We welcome
to hear about that shit.
We welcome you in
Heat
here.
Heat culture.
We do. Guys, don't let a little Heat culture throw you off your game. Freaking everyone else in the chat, they're freaking out here, okay? It happens.
Don't let the Heat culture idiots bully you Celtics
here they
fans
are.
In the chat.
Here they are.
Yeah, here they are. Heat culture. Just another name for
don't let us get
dirty,
one
dirty play.
Speaking of which, check out Jimmy Butler. Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
That's Jimmy's Insta.
Did he just put that up there?
Yeah, don't let us get one.
He put his face over Jalen's. That's hilarious.
Oh boy.
Jimmy Butler is just the boogeyman. Jimmy the boogeyman Butler. He's still haunting this Celtics team, even when he's not in the court. How about that?
Yeah. I will say we appreciate the trolls. If you throw the same comment in here over and over and over and over again, you will probably get blocked just because it's annoying. So make your comment, move on, but don't do it repeatedly, please. It's so annoying. Anyway, yes. Welcome.
If you write Heat culture, you will also be blocked.
Oh, damn, Jimmy.
Automatic block. Don't say Heat culture.
Damn.
You will be blocked.
Yeah. Damn.
There's a lot in here.
Platform.
I love trolls, man.
Jimmy,
love trolls.
Jimmy, block him. Block at him, Jimmy.
Block him. Blocking him.
No, for you.
Guys, I'm not about it's trolls. Not about SEO. No. It's not about traffic. The best thing about sports are villains, okay? You want to hate these guys. Trust me. If you're playing Orlando right now, you just want to.
Boring. That's why I wanted the Sixers. I thought the Sixers would be like a nice like hatred, but the Heat. Yeah. Now I hate the Heat too.
You want that smoke. You want the hatred. Cause why? Cause you want to give it back next game. Trust me. You want it. You want it.
Yeah. And I honestly, the Celtics should be favorite. Will be favorites going into Game 3, and they should take at least one of two in Miami. That's at the end of the day. Yeah, we're obviously pissed off. We're a little upset. You know, we're scratching our heads a little bit, but nobody is saying that this series is flipping because of one loss. I think there are some things that, you know, you want to question a little bit more. And, you know, like Bobby said, the Heat hit, you know, however many threes they hit, over 50% tonight. You know, that was a big reason for them winning this game. But the Celtics, on the other hand, could have just simply played harder defending the three. And I know that we talked about that was obviously part of their game plan, was to let the Heat, if the Heat want to take those shots, we'll give them those shots. But man, in-game adjustments are key. You, at some point, if a guy is hot or if a team is hot, you got to switch things up. You might have to guard that three a little bit more. You have to, might have to make them force it a little bit more inside.
Yeah.
And that's what people's, I think, rightfully so, their concerns are with Joe is, and I guess maybe the assistant staff, but understanding what the game needs in that moment. It's one thing to go and look at the film after the game and then come out and make your adjustments in game two when the Heat are doing the same thing. But what can you do mid-game to stop a Heat run? What, you know, whether it's with a timeout that, you know, we've talked about that over and over on this show, taking one or not taking one, whether it's with the key substitution, Sherrod, going with Porzingis or Horford, or going even deeper, you know, I mean, I'm not saying panic and bring in Cornette and Tillman and you know, and Kata and all those guys, but sometimes you need a little shakeup. There were times last season where it was Pritchard who was the spark, you know, guy came off and he kind of changed the pace of things. Now Pritchard's looked at to be, you know, a more permanent figure in that rotation. And he deserves criticism tonight too. Did he even take a shot tonight?
He is sparky.
Did Pritchard even take a shot tonight? Cause he didn't score.
No, I don't
so
think he took a shot.
You gotta be Mr. Sparky, bro. You gotta take a shot in order to get the gears going. So well, again, the aggressiveness, yeah. And you can't tell me that
they're switching and they weren't allowing a lot of that stuff above the arc there. So they
but
were
that's
really
where
careful.
Joe comes in then, right? I mean,
no, you adjust next game, Jimmy.
Right, exactly. Well, that's where we're at. So, you know, also, I mean,
you
I think
make the adjustments next game.
The players
not now, not now. Stop with the adjustments. Stop. Right. Save it for the next game.
If Joe's not going to do it, the players also need to understand the situation. Like, you have Holiday in there now. Holiday's a proven vet. He should be able to run some of that offense. Derek White's one of the smarter two-way players in the league, better two-way players in the league. And, you know, he was a huge minus tonight on the stat sheet. So I'm a little surprised that some of the players if Joe's not going to do it, couldn't switch it up. And I'm talking defensively. Yeah. I'm not really not talking about offensively. I'm talking about on the defensive side where they hang their hat, those two guards, you know, like a guy like Holiday hangs his hat on that defensive end. You know, he doesn't have to give you 25, 30 points a game because what he does for you or what he's supposed to do for you on that defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. And people going back at the Heat here, you know, they don't have a show of their own. This is going to be their show. Yeah, like the game, their fans show up to their show like 30, 40 minutes late.
I was waiting for that burn.
And they'll get there eventually. They're doing other stuff first, but eventually they'll get into the post-game show and they'll hang out for a little and then they'll go away for a bit. Then maybe they'll come back for a little
bit.
And
they'll be back in the second quarter of the next game.
They'll be back. But yeah, I'll ask you this. This is a fair comment. Are you nervous in the sense of can they lose? Can they lose the series?
Is it possible? Yes. Am I worried that that's going to happen? No. I'm not worried just because at the end of the day, it's a players' league. And at the end of the day, the players are going to ultimately decide who moves on and who does not. And I just don't think Miami has the players.
Yeah.
Over the course of a best of seven series to be superior. I know.
One game doesn't make me nervous, but I've used this before. My antennas.
Two will get your attention.
My antennas are up. Yeah, my antennas are up. Two. Now I'm like, okay, like what's going on? Like, yeah, like.
But yeah, now it's like
now I'm starting to bite my fingernails a little bit. Yeah, now I'm going LeBron on the bench way back. You know what I'm saying? So, a little nervous at that point. One's not going to do it for me. But what this loss does? It's not that they lost one. It's when they lost one. And that's the biggest thing to me. I didn't expect them to lose game two in the first round at home, you know, against a team that they are supposed to be a much superior team than, you know, talent wise, you know, top to bottom. Let's not forget, this is not just like a Jimmy Butler Heat team. This is Jimmy Butler's not playing. Terry Rozier's not playing. So, I mean, This Heat team really, like, I don't think anybody was wrong to take the Heat lightly, even though we've been there before where the Heat have, you know, obviously upset the Celtics in the playoffs multiple times. But this series is supposed to be different because not only are the Celtics better than a fully stocked Heat, or they're supposed to be, but the Heat aren't even near where they're supposed to be. Like their best player who's gotten them to the playoffs is not even on the court, and they put together this performance tonight. So, yeah, I think you have to be, you know, you have to have your antennas up. You have to be aware. You don't want to be, you know, ignorant and cocky and just like write off the whole game as nothing, a nothing burger. But at the same time, especially if you're the Celtics, you're not wavering. You're not scared. You're not, I mean, this is again, we've talked about it. It's the NBA. You need to show up every game, especially in the playoffs, 10 times as much in the playoffs. And if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And if you don't make the adjustments, this is what's going to happen. Exactly. And so you lost the game, and honestly, you deserve to lose the game. It wasn't like an accident. The Heat came out and they played they executed their game plan better than you executed yours.
We talked about the offense being, I believe, the bigger reason why, not adjusting to what the Heat were doing and what they wanted you to do offensively, kind of playing into their hands and their game plan, looking out of sync and just with no flow all game long. Here's Holiday talking about kind of what happened with the Celtics offense here.
I think the scoring did. I think them being able to hit threes and us not really getting off the rebound and pushing it kind of slowed down our transition game.
Do you react in game three to them hitting a lot of threes? Do you kind of expect that the numbers will even out? I mean, how do you respond when they're shooting 56% from three? I mean,
I think we stay solid, stick to the game plan, whatever the game plan is for next time or for next game. We know that they're going to be at home, so they're going to have a little bit more juice, but I don't think we react at all. I think we stay as even-keeled as possible.
So saying their offense got screwed up because Miami hit a ton of shots and they couldn't get out in transition. Look, they played slow as hell anyway. And obviously without transition opportunities with the Heat, you know, that's what kind of probably, you know, factored in as well. But Bobby, you were in listening, talking to people. What's going on?
Yeah, I just popped over the Heat side and there's belief over there. They didn't waver in that, Bam said. And he got asked about the Porzingis comments too and kind of brushed them off that we talked about last show. I didn't really think that was a thing. Like you mentioned, John, it was just sort of a weird way he answered it rather than him shrugging off the Bam matchup. But it is worth talking about because this is the kind of guy who can give Porzingis problems. And he took Porzingis physically out of the game early. They showed two against him in the lane in ways that knocked him around. They fouled him and were willing to foul him, it felt like, early in this game. So that was an important thing, too. And Bam said, Spoelstra says this all the time, too, that they don't talk about scheme and personnel and all that stuff as much as it is just making great efforts and knowing that it's going to be extremely difficult to slow a team like this and just staying in the game. And I think that's more of a mentality thing. There's obviously a lot of scheming going on behind the scenes here that keeps Miami in a game like this. But you also just see the effort. This was an effort game. Like you said, the pace you play at, the level at which you close out, physicality.
Miami's up in the Celtics' face all game long. The Celtics were not. Celtics played a passive style, allowing things to happen based on a game plan rather than just like, let me just get up in your grill and make life hard for you. You know, Miami did that. And the Celtics didn't. Sometimes you have to just take into account. Sherrod texted me early in the game. He's like, I don't like it. Miami's playing a lot faster. They absolutely looked like they were playing just a different style of basketball, hungrier, faster, more physical, up in your bit. And he sniffed it out like 2 minutes in. Like, I don't like the way this looks right now. And it kind of carried throughout. And yeah, sure, the threes and the momentum that you get from hitting them and you get into a rhythm and it gets contagious and you get confident and you keep knocking them down. You've seen that happen. I just don't want people to just sit here and say things like, they'll never hit that many threes again. There's more to it than that. There really is.
There is. And I mean, hell, they could hit the same number of threes in game three and lose. So that doesn't really factor. And the biggest thing that is going to be the difference maker in game three is effort and attention to detail. I thought the Celtics did a mediocre to below average job in those specific areas in this game. And it's among the many reasons why, and when there's just a lot of blame to go around for this loss. And I just, you want to believe that they're going to just bounce back and just get back to playing the way they have all season long. But because this game brought those ghosts of Celtics past versus Miami back to life, you got to pause for a minute and wonder whether or not this is just the beginning of, you know, one of the great unexpected upsets ever. Because remember, this Celtics team regular season, and I know it's different than the playoffs, but this was one of the greatest single seasons in Celtics history in terms of teams and wins. I mean, there's only three teams in Celtics history that won more games than this team in the regular season. And for that team to not get out of the first round, that is, I mean, disappointment doesn't even come close to describing what that could potentially lead to. The good news is that the Celtics are got plenty of opportunities to get control of this series back, and I expect them to do that in Miami. They don't need anything more than a split, but my gut tells me that they're going to wind up getting both in Miami. I would not be surprised. Would not be surprised at least if they got both.
I look at certain things we worried about with this team throughout the year, you know, certain concerns we might have going into the playoffs, and you do see some of them tonight. The ball control wasn't great. The ability to beat switching in particular, which is something they ran into against teams capable of doing that throughout the year, came up in a big way tonight. They saw a ton of it. And then you compare that with the three-point reliance. And you built in different ways this year, offensive rebounding, Porzingis, mid-range, whatever you want to look at, pace, to counteract nights where you're not hitting as well from three or you're getting outshot from three to this level. But this looked similar to games in the past where if you don't have the three or if you lose the three-point battle, you're going to lose the game. And, yeah, I think the Chad and whoever's saying they're not going to shoot at that level again has a valid point, because let's say this ticks down to 45 or even 40. You're in a position with a lead late in this game, or you're just in a crunch time position late in this game, and then you go to that concern. You know, can they get it done in a spot like that late in this series? Again, I'm not in a position, Sherrod, where I feel like they're going to lose this series. But the problem is you're still in that spot, even at 1-1, where you're like, we got this. And the Heat are playing with that freedom. There's a real freedom to the way they play this game tonight, how easily they're getting up those shots, how willing to take risks they are. Fouling, who cares? If we foul, so be it. We're just going to bang these guys around. Did you see that hit Love weight on Horford early?
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a Caleb Martin hit, but that was a, yeah, you're going to feel us kind of hit.
Yeah. I mean, it was
a contrast to styles here.
What's that?
It's a contrast to styles this series. The Heat are just going to play hard, physical, sometimes erratic or inefficient basketball, and the Celtics are going to play to their talent. And like John was talking about, you have to be able to bridge that effort, energy, physicality gap to some degree, because the Heat are going to use it if you don't show up in those areas to make this a closer series than it should be.
It's a good point, Bobby, because if you think of it like this, the Celtics playing above what they're capable of are better than every team in the league. But if they're going to play at their level or slightly below it, you assume the Heat are going to play above what they're capable of, because that's just how they play the game in the playoffs. That's how they're coached. Their guys are grinders. You know, they're obviously led by a guy who's a grinder who's on the court, but a guy like Caleb Martin, like, we Celtics fans know all about him, but on a national NBA scale, he's still pretty much under the radar. He's going to play hard. He hits 5 threes tonight. I know the Heat aren't a big 3-point shooting team, at least in the regular season. So yeah,
they shot 37.
They shot 37%, but they didn't take a lot.
Yeah,
I think like as far as how many they made, like, I don't think they, I think they averaged less than, I think they averaged like 12 and a half a game. So obviously shot way above and beyond that tonight. And yeah, you can't expect that to still happen, but that doesn't mean that they won't find other ways to score. You know, like, what's Spo going to do? Just let him keep hoisting shots if they're all missing? No, he'll find another way to do it. So if you're the Celtics, you need to elevate your game. You can't be just going and say, oh, look how much better we are than them on paper. Because you're not playing the game that way. Like, the Heat aren't showing up as they, you know, on paper, right?
That's why I want to
– one more thing. I'm disappointed in the way the Celtics responded to Caleb Martin and to the Heat.
Right.
With the whole Jason Tatum thing. At the end of the day, and I know John's shaking his head, that to me was a reckless slash dirty play. I don't care that Jrue Holiday maybe gave him a little nudge. I thought that Martin launched himself into Tatum. I thought maybe even NBA would have slapped him with a little fine, nothing crazy, but they didn't. They're letting the boys play. That's fine. But if you're the Celtics, you take care of it on your own. You handle your own business. You go out there and you knock one of their guys down. I'm not saying play dirty, but play physical, play tough. Make them feel like, you know, these threes better go down, because if we do have to go to the paint, you know, we're gonna get pushed around. And I didn't think the Celtics did that. And that's been one of my criticisms with them this year, is lack of physicality or toughness. We know that they're not a super athletic team, so they need to make up for that in some capacity. And the Heat, if the Heat are gonna get into a pushing match, they're gonna win it, unless the Celtics can freaking grow a pair. It's the playoffs. Stop pouting if you're Jason Tatum. I saw some pouting tonight. I didn't like to see that. Step it up and play your game. Play the game that needs to be played to win that game.
Can't hear John, you,
John. I think you're muted.
John, we're going to hear from Jaylen Brown in a minute. We're going to bring in Josue Pavone in a minute. And we're going to play. We're going to break out the blame pie, and we're going to get a sense
of. Oh, I need a big old piece.
Big old slice of blame pie. Where's it going to go? But first, you're not going to play good, right? You got to look good. And
well,
there it is.
Celtics might be putting on.
I bought this one. Okay,
we got the
freebie. I bought another. I liked them so much. Okay,
I hope you use the Garden Report.
And I used the code.
There you go.
A new code for you.
We got a new
pxg.com okay. Garden Report. One word. Use that code Garden Report. Boomers. Check out save 10% on some of the best premium golf apparel over at PXG. Get clubs too. It's awesome. You get a fitting there, state of the art, some of the best golf clubs on the market. But we're here to tell you about the apparel, which is awesome. It is, you know, breathable, great fitting stuff. You can wear both on the golf course and just out if you want. Quarter zips, pants, slacks, polos, whatever you want, hats. Terrific stuff. As I said, I liked it so much. I went out, I used the discount myself, got this one to add to my one that they sent to us generously so we could model the product and tell you guys how much we like it. We legit do like it.
So you thought you obviously thought you looked good in it.
Someone told me I looked good.
Yeah, well, that's all it takes. One person.
One person.
A guy, one person tells you look good.
One person. Hey, I like that.
It's not coming off.
Oh, and I went and spent $1,000 on them, and I got them all. And that's all I'm going to wear from now on.
Yeah.
But go to pxg.com/gardenreport and use that code GardenReport at checkout. You'll get 10% off. You want to look good too? Yep. Why not? Get some Nutrafol. Number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement. Over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding, thinning hair. It happens whether you want it or not. It's going to hit all of us at some point or another. It's except for Jimmy Toscano. Supports healthy hair growth, targeting key root causes of thinning, stress, hormones, environment, nutrition, lifestyle, all of it. It looks at it all. It's a holistic approach to restoring hair growth and preventing hair loss. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol offering listeners of the Garden Report $10 off their first month subscription. This code is just Garden. Free shipping. You go to Nutrafol.com, enter the promo code Garden. Once again, Nutrafol spelled Nutrafol.com. Promo code Garden.
Slash men, John. Nutrafol.com/men.
Slash men. Promo code Garden. Go right there. It's on the screen. You can see it. Nutrafol.com/men. Use that code Garden and get in on the action. Look.
You don't want to end up with the women. With the women's.
Yeah, we lost Josue. I mean, we lost Bobby. We gained Josue. I think that's a win for us.
We found Josue.
What's going on, fellas?
Are you in an interrogation room right now?
Yeah,
he's perfect.
This is actually where they bring this is like a drunk tank. Actually. No, I'm just kidding. No, this is actually this is usually where they have the visiting team's press conferences. But they took over another room, so I came in here. But yeah, it's a little echoey in here too. So
it sounds great.
You're perfect. You go. What do you got for us?
The best you've ever sounded. No,
the Miami Heat did exactly what they were supposed to do, right? Respond in a big way, but they took it another notch, man. Like it's not just about the 3-point shots and making them, obviously, but they were so confident that you could just see throughout that they weren't going to cool off. And I always got the sense, especially in the second half, that the Celtics were just kind of under this impression that, oh, they have to stop doing this, right? And it never stopped. And look, the Celtics, they did what they do best. That when there's that much pressure and the other team is shooting the way they do, they try to explore mismatches. A couple of times they try to get Kristaps in the paint or whatever, but the Miami Heat were ready for it. And it didn't matter who was down there, you know, in terms of like switching, whether it was Bam, whether it was Martin, whether it was Hero. Hero played probably the best game of his career, 14 assists to go with those points. And then Bam, I thought Bam was rock solid, man. You look at those three plays in particular in that fourth quarter where he just straight up went for it, you know, one-on-one, you know, in the paint, just hit some really tough contested shots on top of all the three-point shots that were falling for the Miami Heat. And I thought that the Boston Celtics, look, out of the timeout, there was one play for Jaylen that I thought was executed perfectly. But then they sort of got away from that, you know. It was all of a sudden about, oh, well, this guy has a mismatch, so that's an easy bucket. But it wasn't. And then it was like, oh, well, this guy, you know, he can take him one-on-one. But then he didn't. You know, the Miami Heat made the right they put together just enough stops that I just feel like by the time it was like 2 minutes or a minute and a half left to go, the Celtics were just like checked out mentally and physically in a sense, right? They look exhausted. Joe Mazzulla going into the full court press for like the last 5 minutes, you know, I just felt like their legs were gone when they were trying to jack up threes at the very, very end. I credit the Celtics for not going to that bad habit of just saying, let's just shoot ourselves back into it. However, the whole, okay, this guy can take the other one one-on-one, it didn't work for them. You know, the Miami Heat did a really good job of not only help defense, but guys standing their ground and just being tough, physical, taking away space, things that the Miami Heat culture is known for. But this time it was in a very, very clean way.
You mentioned the threes, Josue. I think it's worth bringing up here. Jaylen Brown was asked, like, hey, man, what's up with all the threes that they hit? With a little back and forth here in the press room. Here's Jaylen kind of talking about what happened there with the Heat, you know, bombs away.
In game two, and why you guys camp a little short tonight?
I think I tip my hat off to the Heat. I think they shot the ball incredibly well. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I think they shot the ball incredibly well. What
the hell was that?
They shot the three-point attempts that we did tonight. They played with pace. They played faster. That was their response, and they was able to get some good looks, but, you know, they knocked a lot of them down, which was tough.
Last year, they had a few games where a bunch of guys that we might term as non-shooters had outlier shooting nights, and they shot better than 50%, 50% or better a few times last year, and they did it again tonight. What is it about this team being able to hit so many three-pointers against you guys?
I think they're well coached. I mean, I think that's credit to the coaches and the organization. They put together a good game plan for them, and they feel confident. And they come out and execute it. I think that's what, you know, they do, you know. And tonight was an example of that, you know. I just thought they made, you know, a lot of shots that we normally will feel comfortable with, but it's the playoffs. It is what it is. You got to adjust, and we got to play ball. So we got to respond.
Ooh. They're well coached.
Hey, coached. The best coaches in the NBA, guys. What do you
Damn.
Mean?
It's the playoffs. It's the playoffs. You got to adjust.
You can't fault us. Look at our coach.
So, guys, so is the playoffs? I mean, is the playoffs Damn. Not the same as the regular season? Is that what you're trying to say, Jaylen? Because Joe Mazzulla's been saying that since day one, since before the playoffs. It's the exact same. I think Jalen's is clearly going against that, saying
it's
like
not.
No, coach,
shot across the bow.
No, I mean that was a low key referendum on Joe Mazzulla that Jalen just put out there.
Agreed.
Even Drew said it. Well, we got to adjust and see what our game plan is, kind of next game, you know. So, you know.
But that's the thing. Yeah. You're just constantly adjusting to the last game. You're not ready for the current game.
Right.
Yeah, especially when you've got adjustments that you treat them like timeouts, and you think they can carry over to the next game. That's not how this works. You need to make in-game adjustments.
All right.
Yeah. Well, Jaylen came out and said, I think they're well coached. Listen, it's not saying that they aren't well. He's not saying we aren't, they are. But he's going out of his way to make it very, very known that it was a coaching advantage from the Heat that gave them a little boost tonight in this one.
And we know this. I mean, we've been talking about this ad nauseum, not just for this game, but anytime they play Miami, that's going to be out there. They have a better coach than you do, period.
Does that mean that he's a bad coach? No, it just means that the guy that on that other side in the black and red is really good.
That's the thing.
How do you?
Right. That's what it is.
No doubt about it. You know that's happening. It's what's the differential here, right? I used to always say this with the Patriots. I thought Belichick was worth a touchdown every game, like in his heyday. Like, no joke. I think you switch teams and it's a 14-point swing. No joke. Like, he could.
Yeah, and then it went the other direction.
Then it went the other direction. But for a while, it literally was that big a difference. He could have a team that was 60% as good as the other team and win by 10 points. Like, it's just how he was. He was always miles ahead. I don't know that Spoelstra's at that level, and I don't know that you can compare sports. The question was always, and this is going to sound like a bigger knock than it is, but is the Celtics coaching deficit over someone like versus someone like Spo or an upper level coach enough to overcome the supreme talent gap that they have over these teams? And my thought would always be no. I think Spo can make life difficult, can sneak out a game, can change things up, can make it harder than you want it to be. You're going to leave a lot of games thinking like, man, that didn't feel right. But ultimately, the talent is going to win out. And again, it probably is. But that's always kind of the fear, right? Like, if Butler was playing right now, does that close the talent gap enough to have made this like a toss-up series? And nobody wants to hear that coming off a 64-win regular season, that like it's a coin flip versus Miami in round one. That's not what this is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a 1-8. It's supposed to be a cakewalk. The other team's without their best player. And the only thing that can save them, Miami, is if you play like ass or soft or don't really rise to the moment, or you just get worked by the other coach and you're late to adjust all the way through. Both things happened tonight. It resulted in a very predictable loss. So yeah, let's see what comes out in game three. But as I said, Mazzulla adjusts to game two tactics and is faced with completely different things in game three. It doesn't matter. You gotta read the game. It's what I think everyone has been worried about with Joe's philosophy. The philosophy wins over a long timeline. In a single game or in a series, you have to read and react on the fly, or just hope that I'm just going to trust in my guys to figure it out because they're better. There's a little of that goes on a lot of times too. And this is where you need that coach to go in and be like, this is what we're doing instead. Joe knows what he's doing. Joe's into the film. He's going to have a lot of stuff to say to these guys, but Spoelstra's going to come with something different next game. And
that's the thing.
But you know what, though? Again, all that stuff you said,
by the way, John, it's the latter for me, real quick. Sorry, Jimmy. Like, for me, it's the okay, my team's more talented, so they'll figure it out. You know, the game will, by the fourth quarter, they'll know exactly what to do because I put them in position to. Well, what if the Miami Heat are matching not only your intensity, but executing? You know, I mean, look, this team, and then you look at the defense, they limit the Celtics to nearly 100 points. The Celtics barely cracked 100 points in this game. And this is a team that averages 120, or well beyond, especially when you look at their numbers throughout the last 2 weeks of the regular season. So this was not them. They were not themselves. The Miami Heat made them very uncomfortable, and it's not going to go away anytime soon. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Everything you said is true, John, and Josue, you as well. The difference between, like, you used Belichick as a comparison, and I know you know this, but I want to just say it so that I can get my point across. In football, so much of what makes a good football coach is the preparation leading up to the game. And then it's on the players to execute the game plan and to, you know, use their talent. You know, we obviously know what Brady and everybody was capable of, the Patriots. It's on the coaching staff to put them in the position, run the game plan, and go through. In the NBA, it's a little bit different because you are able to make a lot more in-game adjustments. You're able to make, you know, those types of key substitutions, timeouts, you know, and you know, try to take advantage of whatever's working for you and whatever's not working for the other team. Whereas in football, like I said, it's a lot of lead up to that. That's why it's like, okay, I understand. I give Spo all the credit in the world for being a great coach, and I understand that they do have an advantage there. But at the end of the day, in the NBA, it comes down to the players who are on the court more than any other sport, probably, right? Or maybe hockey too, because I don't think there's a whole lot of in-game, you know, hockey coaching going on there. But I guess what I'm trying to say is the Celtics can give all the credit they want to Spo, but at the end of the day, they have the ability, they have everything they need to beat this Heat team pretty handedly, I would say too. And it's their own, they can point at coaching all they want, but just you're the way more talented team. You've got a MVP conversation player this year in Tatum. You've got all NBA player in Brown. You've got multiple guys that have been talked about in all defensive teams this year. And you've got some solid bench, you've got a couple of decent solid bench players, right? And so, yeah, coaching is great for the Heat. But at the end of the day, the Celtics have way more talented players. Just play your game and play hard. That's what it comes down to. Right. If you're not going to play hard, nothing is going to be given to you. Once the playoffs come around, none of these players want to go home. None of these teams are going to roll over. They all have pride. And if you're the Heat, you believe more than ever that you can beat the Celtics team. But if you're the Celtics, you should just play your game. Play hard. Like you said, Sherrod, to John earlier on, they're not going to play fast. They're not going to play up-tempo. They're not going to play, two-way basketball. And by the way, if you're giving up three after three, you're not even going to get those transition buckets because now you're just letting the Heat get back on defense, set up, and you're getting into your half-court offense now, right? Which, as we know, gets stagnant. So that's all the problems that Celtics dealt with tonight.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You just asked my dog me.
No, that's absolutely it. Every single thing, all in one shot, rolled up into one. And it's the worst case scenario and everybody's worst nightmare, and it all happened tonight. We're going to share Bobby Manning's tweet here. If I can put it up.
What Tatum said.
It's a Tatum
quote. Missoula's a great coach.
It's a Tatum quote. Yeah. Let me see if I can grab Bobby's thing here. Where are you, Bobby? Okay. Right here. Bobby Manning from Tatum, from Jason Tatum. We got to be more creative. The playoffs are about making adjustments game to game, and they did that. And they're not just going to let us catch the ball. Our job is to react in real time and make our adjustments going to game to game. That could be on the players. Ooh. That could be on Joe again. But again, we've got another little they did different things. We got to do different things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a little sad for them to just say.
It's the we stuff again.
Yeah, that.
We got to adjust.
It's telling.
Then adjust. It's a
is that a shot at Joe? Is that another shot at Joe? Is that a shot at other players? It's we got to do better. We got to be more creative.
I don't know if it was a shot, but go ahead, John.
No, I don't think it's a shot. I think they're just crying in their soup after the game. Like, be the change you want to see in the world, right, Sherrod? Isn't that the saying? Be the change you want to see in the world.
Yes,
don't cry about it after it's done with. You had your opportunity. You know what you had to do, but you kept watching the same thing happen over and over. They say, oh, we got to make adjustments.
But is this –
we're all seeing the same shit.
Is this a shot at Joe or deflecting accountability? How do you read it?
I think it's deflecting accountability. I don't think it's a shot at
Joe. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's more of that, but it's telling for me.
No, time out. There's like a weird Pac-Man thing going on. We're going to stop that. It's not, it's like Space Invaders. What is that?
What are you talking about?
It's either like a 1980s video game or you're tied to like one of those medical machines that, something bad happened there.
Luckily, you do have a pulse still.
You do have a pulse. Try it again.
I don't want to hear that flat line.
All right, go ahead.
Say words.
Josue, say words.
You muted me.
Yeah, because it was bad.
Oh, okay. Oh, now it's back. What was it?
You're good. Boop, 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 it was a weird beep. Boop.
Like, yeah, you were about to flatline, and Bobby, come on, you're killing
Bobby.
Me.
That would be crazy.
This is my graphics. You can't bow out like that. This is getting bad. I'm gonna leave. We're gonna end this.
stop. All right, guys, clean it up,
guys. You're making Dad angry.
I'm playing hard all the way through the end of this. Okay,
make the adjustments, John.
We're not falling apart late here. This is ridiculous.
In-pod adjustments need to be made here.
Pull it together, Bobby. Are you staying this time? Yes. Yes. All right. Don't leave again.
All right. We're back.
I don't think he knows he's here. Do you know you're on, Bobby?
No, he's freaking typing.
I don't think he does.
Yeah.
Pounding the keys.
He does not. Okay. I will turn this podcast around. I will.
You guys don't whip into
I will turn this podcast around.
Are we there yet?
I will turn this podcast around right now.
That's when you gotta look out the window and say nothing.
John, give us a reset. Give us a reset.
Give us a Bobby.
Reset. Give us recess. Give us recess.
Bobby didn't make the adjustments. Yeah.
Bobby's trying to figure out his audio.
Make the adjustments tonight.
Yeah.
He says he's good. Let's give him another chance.
This is the last chance for everybody. Okay? Myself included.
I'm just not going to say anything.
Bobby?
Can you hear us, Bobby?
Yeah, right. You got to be perfect.
Yeah, I got you.
Bobby, can... there you go. All right, we're going to do it. We're doing it.
What are we doing?
I don't know. What are we doing? I don't know. I'm looking.
The thing? We're doing the thing?
I thought they were adding one. Is there one in here? Yeah, let's get a blame pie. Here we go. Blame pie.
Okay.
We got... You can't blame Spoelstra. You can Spoelstra.
Yes, you can. I asked to put this in.
No, Spoelstra goes on the credit cake, not the blame pie. Okay.
No, it's who's to blame for the Celtics' loss, and you can blame Spoelstra for it.
No, I'm not
going to. Look how happy he looks. It's perfect.
Jimmy ruined blame pie.
No, listen. I'm
blame pie is ruined.
I'm a blame pie advocate, and since I'm the one who asked Amit to put Spo in, I will give some.
It's a fair point though, because then later on we're going to end up picking like the whole pie is going to end up being opposing teams when after our losses.
You know what I mean? No.
It's Kristaps and Joe.
Yeah.
You didn't have the right game plan for this one. You didn't react in game. So you're going 50, Joe, and then you're going 50, Kristaps, for being effectively a no-show here in this game. You can't have that. You're a team that's predicated on your top six coming through on any given night. And when you have one guy that ineffective in a game like that, you know, he deserves half that pie. And listen, I would think about putting Drew in there too, but I don't think any of his lapses in this game are massive parts of why it went the way it did.
No, I'm going 55 for Porzingis, 45 for Joe, because at the end of the day, when you get to the playoffs, it really is about the players. And it really is about the players making the adjustments. Even if your coach isn't calling out adjustments from the sideline or jotting them down during a timeout, you have to make those adjustments as a player, and Porzingis didn't do that. I mean, 1 for 9. Bam is a good defender, obviously, but damn, like Bam ain't locking nobody up like that. And that's why I give a little bit more to blame pie to Porzingis, because I thought he had a little bit more culpability as to why this team lost.
I'd swap it, Gerard. I'd go 55-45 with Mazzulla because of just being put on the spot the way he did in the fourth quarter. And again, I know I said this earlier, but when he came out of the timeout with that play for Jalen, I wanted to see more of that. But I feel like that was the only one that was designed for Jalen. You know, there was a lot of and he even admitted it, right, Bobby, when we were talking to him in the press conference about when I asked him if that was something that he wanted to see more of, was there an emphasis of that? And it was pretty much like, no, I'm letting these guys figure out where the mismatches are and exploit, you know.
They stuck with that on offense, and they stuck with taking away on defense.
Just tore them up, man. Like, in terms of transition points off of those defensive stops, the Celtics couldn't score for a little bit, you know. Then all of a sudden, they couldn't stop Miami, and the clock just kept going on and on. You know what I mean? Like, the Celtics just never got a sense that they were going to come back. So, I think that's on Joe for sure. But a big chunk of it goes to Kristaps because he's got to find a way to be more effective. I thought he was he came up with a couple of defensive stops, a couple of plays, but in terms of offense, man, the Celtics need that. You know, it doesn't always have to be end with him scoring, but he's got to be a big part of what they do on offense. Like, that's what really bothered Miami, especially in that first half, if you ask me, in game one. Obviously, the 3-point shots were devastating as well, but just the impact Kristaps had overall, I thought really crushed them. So Joe or Eric Spoelstra rather went into game two making sure that he wasn't going to be a factor, and he really wasn't on offense.
Well, Jimmy, right. you befouled the whole thing. Why don't you tell us your thoughts?
So I'm going to go 50% Mazzulla. Okay. I'm going to go 30% Kristaps. So we're at 80. And then I'm going to go
20 left.
Yeah, I got 20 left. I'm going to go 5%
Tatum. Wow.
5% Brown. And then I'm going to go 5% Drew and 5% Spo.
There's like 50 slices.
Yeah, there's a lot of slices. Damn. Everyone gets a piece tonight. And you want
to
know
there's
why?
There's a lot of little Toscanos that need small.
Yeah. You got a lot of math when you were homeschooled, huh? A lot of math.
I actually think, guys, this might be the first time in Blame Pie history everybody gets a piece. Everybody on this pie gets a piece.
So, and that's where I'm going. I'm going to give Porzingis the biggest slice at, say, 40%. And then I'm going to give 10% to everybody else and 10 and another and whatever's left to Missoula, 10 or 20%. Because so again,
wait. I think that comes out to 90.
Wait,
but I want more people on the pie. I would have given it to everybody. Oh, okay. I'll throw Derek White on here too.
Derek you know, White like, could have been on there.
You know, sure. Like
Richard, I said toss Whoa. Pritchard on there.
Pritchard at zero.
D was heating up a little bit towards the end.
Very
man.
Late, but he was non-existent for a long period of time. The reason I always give Joe, I give the coach the least, is because I simply don't believe it's the entire game swings on a coach.
This time of year, it does usually, more than any
I
other,
usually
though.
Am right there yeah. with you, John. I usually am right there with you, John. And I already said my piece on the players having at the end of the day, they have to just be the players and do the thing. And I honestly do truly believe that. But for blame pie game situation, this is the game two. You're coming off a big win. This is when you kind of shine or don't shine as a coach. You know, what adjustments are you going to make? How are you going to come out? We've already heard the players credit the Heat coaching staff and talk about all the adjustments that they need to make. So I do think coaching played a point in this. The reason why I gave all the players a piece of the pie is because it's not just on coaching. Even though you got a bigger piece tonight, the players have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, what are we doing here? We're way better than this, regardless of what the quote unquote game plan was going in.
And you're not wrong. Here's the thing. I'm pushing against myself here. I hate letting players off the hook because ultimately figure it out. Okay.
Right.
Go out there and figure it out. And if you're not going to play,
you have to react.
With energy and urgency or react or take accountability and take matters into your own hands, then I don't have sympathy there. I think Joe is and was and can be sometimes slow to adjust, and it's a concern. But I still think despite all that, the players take matters into their own hands and they win in spite of that. And I don't believe Joe.
But if you come out flat, and you come in with the wrong plan, and you don't make adjustments, and you lose game two at home, don't you think he deserves maybe a little bit bigger of a slice than you typically would give him? I'm not saying every time the Celtics lose, Missoula gets a big chunk of the pie. I'm not saying that at all. But I think in this specific case, you have to look at the – and again, it's pretty glaring when you compare it to the opposite side and what the Heat were able to do tonight and with, you know, the style they played, the fact that they're undermanned. It just – I feel like it's just a little bit more glaring when you talk about the coaches, and that's why I wanted to put Spo – on the pie chart tonight too, because I think you got to blame Spo for being such a good coach as part of the reason that this thing went the way it did tonight.
Yeah.
You got to credit him too, guys. I mean,
says a veto though. I think that's, it goes against the spirit of blame pie. It's
had referees on the blame pie. We've had a bunch of random shit on the blame
can't
pie.
Be the opponent.
I've been on the blame pie.
We'll have the committee.
Anything with the opponent.
We'll take it to committee. Okay. We'll talk about it.
We had a blame pie
offline.
Of just Jalen Brown once.
Yeah, but also
don't
Jimmy.
Tell me that you can't mix up the.
I'm surprised Dalman didn't put up an all Joe blame pie because that's where I thought we were going with this.
But Jimmy, you got to remember too.
You can't Eric do that.
Eric Spoelstra went into game two knowing that Joe Mazzulla wasn't going to make huge adjustments. Like, why? He knows them already, you know. And I think that was, he used that to his advantage.
You think that's what it is?
I think that's why. Well, for John's reason as well, that you shouldn't put any opponents on the blame pie. But also because Joe Mazzulla went into that game not making no adjustments, and that's what Eric Spoelstra expected out of him. He fell right into the trap.
See,
I put more the blame on Joe than Kristaps and anybody else.
I do think the Heat played the way the Celtics wanted them to, for sure.
Yeah, they knew.
I mean, the Celtics played the way the Heat wanted them to, rather. Yeah.
No, but I think this game came down to efforts as much as it did coaching. When you shoot 2 for 14 against Hero. I mean, that's just a combination of Hero stepping up in a big way defensively and you not being able to take advantage of him as offensive players. And listen, that offense has worked for them all year. I know you get a little stagnant in that two-man game late and you're going at guys in isolation and all that. But when you have guys on that Miami side making shots, coming up big defensively, making great contestant efforts on the defensive end, I'm going to go more toward the players in a game like this. Like the coaching, the Heat pretty much told you what you were going to do coming in or what they were going to do coming in and tossing up all those threes. And maybe they switch a little bit more, but was it anything schematic in this game? that you think had a massive swing over last game. It was efforts, it was shot making, and probably the pace and quickness at which you got into the offense on either side. So, yeah, Joe probably had to adjust a little bit and make some tweaks. But
I can't bring Joe down to 40% over the players. I can tack it onto the players. I'll bring it down to 40.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the thing.
You convinced me, Bobby.
Yeah.
And I always blame the
players. Just that he put up a ton of threes in this game. And you saw that happen in real time. You knew it was going to happen coming in.
They did, and they were switching. And they were making it harder for you to get open threes. So the Celtics instead kind of went into their iso ball mode. If you want to talk about maybe Derek White caught astray by me saying he didn't play, I don't think they used him. You know, they didn't use him at all. They didn't do any of the stuff that they normally do. They didn't run anything through him. They ran way too much through Drew, for to be honest. And they settled on too much iso.
Drew is the best.
You want to give Tatum and Brown a hat tip for scoring, great, but they had four assists between them, and that's not just because guys didn't hit shots. It's because they just became single-minded hunting matchups and went to score. Miami wanted to do that. They wanted that to be the game plan. They wanted to, and they went 3-for-2 with you all game long on that stuff, yeah. And they were fine doing it. So it just, you played into what they wanted you to do. You fell into the trap. Heat hit their shots. You lose the game. That's it. Yeah. See what happens next game. Closing thoughts here before we head to Miami. And again, Josue Pavone going to Miami. Bobby Manning going to Miami. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Not Amit. I don't trust you guys with him. I don't.
All right, that's fair.
Wow, the Miami boys. Bucket hat Bobby going to be back? What's the temperature looking like, Bob? Yeah.
80 every day.
Little SPF. SPF cream cheese going on the face for Bobby, I think, this week.
Good reminder.
Yeah, everybody lather up.
It's going to be hot this
weekend. Or you might want to get a little base. You might want to get a little base for the summer, get a little kick start.
I think that would probably be a good idea for me.
Yeah.
But you got to balance it. I can't come out burnt.
It's all about balance.
That would be
it's cream cheese, Bobby. I love that.
It's cream cheese season.
Cream cheese.
Get it on the nose. Get it all over the place. Hey, little Philadelphia.
I don't know. Jimmy can probably relate to me the most here. When you get a bad burn.
See you in Miami, losers. Yeah.
You're down for like a week with that. So,
yeah.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Celtics got to be careful.
You'll be working hard. You guys won't be. I know you guys. You guys will be working nonstop. So you won't.
Oh, it's a business trip.
Yeah, it's a business trip. Nonstop.
Just like I almost said that without a crack. You almost made it through without smiling.
Yeah. And you guys aren't hoping. Trip. You guys aren't hoping for one more Heat win at all, so you can go back to Miami. I know that.
Well, it will go against my prediction, Jimmy.
That's actually what I'm expecting.
I legit can't stand Bobby Miami. I can't stand it down there.
I don't think
I could ever live down there. But
I can't stand it even for 10 seconds. I cannot stand it.
Yeah, exactly. It's great to visit. I would never.
It's not. It's ridiculous. It's gross. It's so fake. I cannot stand Miami.
No, those are all valid points. Yeah.
I don't like anything about it. Yeah, I don't like anything about
it. We like fake. I don't like going there. I don't like the fake.
It's terrible.
We like fake everything.
Good few days. You're good.
No, man. Give me New York. Give me, you know, anywhere.
Oh, God.
Give me California.
New York, dude?
Yeah. Yes.
New York is trash, too.
Miami sucks.
New York is like, I mean,
New York's great.
Everywhere you look, New York is trash, man. Scaffolding and trash.
I mean, that is true.
That's legit not true at all, but that's fine. Anyway.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty damn true.
There's nothing wrong with that, though.
There's a lot wrong with it. Yeah, New York is trash.
Dude, you guys need the Jimmy John podcast, man. This is the stuff
that doesn't mean I won't go to New York, but I feel that way about New York. I love going and I love leaving.
Humid, trashy, shallow. Give me a break with the rats. New York is give me a break comparing.
The rats are a big problem.
Are we talking about rats?
People who like New York are the people
in Boston. Are we seriously having a conversation about
New York? Dude, we live in Boston.
It's different.
But when you rip up
Bobby got spooked by one mouse in a Knicks game, one rat in a Knicks game, and he's never going back to him. It's like Homer Simpson when he got his car booted. Like, he's never going back to the city again.
Yeah, but John, those are
never again.
New York rats are that's like a cat running that, Bobby.
It's New York, man. I mean, come on, John. Come on.
Hey, we want both.
The series, though, in New York,
they're both better than Philadelphia. We can all agree Philadelphia is trash.
Okay, so let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's leave it here. We're done. We've gone almost 90 minutes. We did the best we could do. We welcome you, Miami fans. Welcome. This was how we built this.
Yeah. Miami Heat.
You know what our
Miami
you
Heat
know
that same energy.
You guys want to know what our base is? You want to know our fan base? It's in Toronto. Okay, that's where. Yeah. Okay.
Bring them back. We need them back.
The numbers say. We have
I miss
numbers.
Those guys. Toronto. God, I miss Toronto.
They're so far gone.
They're so far gone. But man, were they awesome.
They were great.
Awesome fans. And they found us early when we started doing this. And so, yes, we welcome all out of towners. We love it. Join us in the next game. We'll see what happens there. Might be singing a different tune. But anyway, thank you guys. Joining us, hanging out, for the Heat fans taking a victory lap, for the Celtics fans crying a little bit. It's all good. It's 1-1, headed to Miami. Game 3 is on Saturday.
It should be interesting.
Yeah,
tough enough, Celtics. Come on.
And you know what? It's stuff got interesting. I'll tell you that. And it'll make for you want to sweat it out a little bit. At the end of the day, the journey matters. And right now,
I just want to feel something.
You want to feel something. And right now we feel something. So yeah, we will see you
guys.
We're
back at practice tomorrow. Stay tuned.
Practice tomorrow. All sorts of Garden Report stuff that you can get in on. Also, I wanted to tell you, I don't know if I have a graphic with which to get my point across, but yes, I do. For those of you who love the NFL draft, and I loves me some NFL draft, this is one of the biggest nights in the last 20 years for the Patriots. I don't know. You want to go back to Drew Bledsoe since 1993? Yep. This is a big, big moment. The Patriots are going to select what they hope is their franchise quarterback. Tomorrow we are going to be live with a great cast of characters leading up to the draft and probably through the majority of the first round. We're going to go live at 7. It's going to be me, Taylor Kyles, our Patriots insider. We're going to be joined by Mike Kadlick. We're going to be joined by Zach Cox. We might have some other people on the show as well.
I'll start
You're going to hear from a lot of different people that we've gotten to talk to over the week. Mina Kimes, Robert RG3, weigh in on their takes on different quarterbacks. So it should be a ton of fun. And then who knows what happens. We're going to read and react with you in real time. But if you dig the Patriots or the NFL draft, join our pre-draft/draft show. We're just going to let it roll for as long as we can go through the first round. Subscribe to Patriots Press Pass on YouTube. Follow Patriots CLNS on X for Patriots draft coverage. It should be a ton of fun. We hope to see you guys tomorrow. And all the Celtics coverage. What's that, Jimmy?
I can't let you end the show without asking you what you think the Pats are going to do at 3, since you're Mr. Draft guy.
That's weird. Yeah.
It is.
Jimmy, you never do that. That's true. Before you wrap up the show,
let's have a conversation that could easily go on for 30 minutes.
Let's
do that. Yeah.
Save it for tomorrow.
No, I want to know.
Sherrod was like, Sherrod, I'm going to do you a favor. Ready, buddy? Ready? We're going to remove from the stage.
Awesome. Okay. It's going to be me and John.
He
wasn't going to do it himself. Was
creeping up on Sherrod, too. He kept looking behind him. Like, who is
he? I didn't realize that he was trying to go.
He's too polite. He wasn't going to do it, but read the room a little bit, Jimmy.
Oh, no, Sherrod, Jimmy. He loves 90 minutes.
Sherrod was gone.
Yeah, he loves it.
So you want to know what I think? I think.
Not really.
I think it's been the same thing all along. It's stay and May. That's what it's been.
It's gotta be May.
Yeah, stay in May.
I get it. There you go.
I mean, I've been going back and forth. I like the idea of JJ McCarthy more than I think I would actually like JJ McCarthy. So I'm cool with May. I don't know. I keep hearing rumors that they might trade down. Also, this is interesting, John. Talking about, if you're a betting man, I'm seeing on various betting, apps and whatnot, that JJ McCarthy has inched up close to the favorite of who the Patriots are going to take.
I know. It's so crazy.
So there is nobody knows. That's the crazy thing. Patriots could stay at 3 and draft May, like you say, or they could get a godfather offer from a team like the Vikings or the Giants or whoever. They might say, hey, we don't love May as much as the next guy. We're cool with any of these guys for the next 6 picks. Yeah, we'll take an extra first this year and next year or whatever it is, and we'll go back 6 or 8 spots. That could happen too. So many things can happen. It's going to be actually pretty riveting to see where they go.
It's really interesting, and there could be a wrinkle. There's a piece of me that thinks the Jaden Daniels stuff has been a lot of smoke, and and May's been the number 2 guy on everybody's board all year, and all of a sudden it's a surprise where Daniels is the guy at 3, and everybody has to pivot their thinking. I don't know what they think. I don't know what they think. I think a lot of people are worried about I think people are worried about each candidate, but also kind of excited about each one. I think McCarthy at 3 would be the biggest kick in the you-know-what.
Would that be like a Jonathan Kraft move or something? Like,
I don't know. I don't believe the Kraft stuff either. I don't believe that either. But anyway, Joe Slayer, Bobby, you guys have an opinion before we wrap it?
Nah.
No,
I'm fine with whoever falls there. No McCarthy.
I also recognize that I don't know anything, and neither do most.
And I don't either.
And neither do most people. So I don't actually have a favorite, because I could love a guy and then he would suck, and then the next guy would be the better player. And that's possible. And I even think any expert out there is in the same boat. The smartest minds in the business don't know. It's a bit of
If you want McCarthy, fine, but trade back.
It's a guessing game. What? Here's the nightmare scenario. I'll tell you this, and then we'll go. The worst.
So your favorite scenario.
The biggest. I love chaos. You know that.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I love chaos. The nightmare scenario is you get too cute, you trade back, and you don't get anything that you wanted. You get a tier 3 quarterback, a tier 2 receiver, or a tier 2 offensive lineman. So you get a whole bunch of mid, and it's value.
Yeah,
that's right. The freaking worst. And that happens. Oh my God.
Forget it. But
that's what you would expect Belichick to do.
We need some excitement on this team, man. It's freaking painful.
Yeah.
That's why. It'll be a quarterback.
All right, let these guys. These guys have other actual work to do, so we're gonna let them do it. Once again, the Celtics fall. Definitely tune in for the draft stuff. It's gonna be a ton of fun. We're on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Same deal. Friday night, same cast of characters. We'll bring in Mike Giardi and maybe some other people as well.
Nice.
A lot of good guests. A lot of good voices.
Giardi has like them trading it, I think.
A lot of people have been tracking this really closely. It's gonna be fun. Celtics fall to the Heat. And that is that. The series is tied at 1. Josue and Bobby, you guys going live?
Yes, we are.
We are. Live. We'll see you later.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned on this channel. These guys are going to pop up and do their thing, and we are out.
Wait, Ahmed's got an outro for us, I think.
No, he doesn't.
He said he was going to work on an outro.
He had a phenomenal game.
Phenomenal!
Horford's out. I think it's an option.
That did not sound like a chair.
It was a freaking chair. It does sound like a chair. What do you want for your third center?